Guess who and guess what? Footy Prime is launching a gin and we're having a party to celebrate. Thursday, June 6th, join the whole FP crew for Footy Prime's one-night stand at Nickel 9 Distillery in Toronto. Come celebrate Footy Prime's one-ball gin with Nickel 9 Distillery mixologists on hand, Charmin's proper pies, meet and greet and photo ops with your favorite primers, and a live Atska's Almost Anything podcast. Footy Prime's one-night stand, June 6th at 7 p.m. till when we kick you out. Tickets at eventbrite.ca. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Every day is filled with opportunities to express yourself. And with an everyday piece from Blue Nile, you can do it without saying a word. Blue Nile's collection of diamond jewelry is the ultimate statement, with sparkle that elevates any outfit. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, their diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Wonga will join us at some point, we hope. We
really hope.
Oh, there he is. He's back there. There he is.
Oh, no.
He's a diehard
today. With a Maple Leafs background?
He's gone.
Mock tribute. Mock tribute.
They're not out yet, Wonga. They're not out yet. So Wonga's wearing a Leafs Forever t-shirt. He's got a Leafs background. Is that a Leafs scarf as well?
Oh, yeah. He strangled himself.
Choking, look.
The question is, why is Wonga so
I think that's what the Leafs are doing is choking. Meh.
Why have you got so much Leafs paraphernalia?
I don't know. It just seemed appropriate. I know how much you love the Leafs when crybabies get on the bench and throw their gloves and pee their pants and argue amongst themselves. It makes me smile. It's just like when Ryan Reynolds creates a match with Wrexham and the Whitecaps and people are negative about it, saying, you don't give back to... And I'm just like... It's so funny. People always want to win, Jay. It's killing me.
People being negative.
I'm trying to understand the parallel, though, like with people being negative.
When people fail. When people fail, it makes me happier. That's what it is. It's just Schadenfreude. Oh, that's all it is.
I don't think the Leafs are failing. I mean, I fully expected this to happen.
Yeah, but you know that there are hardcore Leafs and hardcore Leaf fans. There's people who play hard and there's people who cheer hard who are so disappointed. In the huge salary, the same management who is putting the same people out there. It's kind of like Man United or Tottenham.
You're a whirling dervish here to start.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out this.
Many angles.
I didn't know you'd throw me under the bus
right
away.
Let's get back to the Wrexham thing. So is there negativity about Wrexham playing the Caps?
Yeah, yeah. They're like, look how expensive the tickets are. The tickets are super expensive. Yeah, just that kind of thing right away.
Oh,
and
we know
Ryan Reynolds lines up with Dubs on the pro-apartheid side. So, you know, there's things about allegedly, of course.
We need to just clarify that. There's before we get sued.
It's what I've heard. It's what I've heard.
By who? The guy in the mirror? Like right. Your bathroom mirror, not the daily mirror.
Steve Chang has been whispering sweet nothings into my head.
Yeah, well,
you should have a Canucks logo behind you.
That's next when they lose, Craig. Although I like when you...
How about that comeback yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing Canucks.
Was it ever.
Must break your hearts when you see Canadian teams struggle in the Canadian-based NHL rights TV market struggling. It's a shame, isn't it?
Sure affected the soccer market.
Yeah, it sure did. It sure
did. Well, let's see what happens. If Amazon takes half of Sportsnet's games and matches, all of a sudden Sportsnet might be looking for an hour-long filler of soccer magic called Footy Prime.
Can we revisit the tagline, an hour-long filler? Like, I don't think that's getting any eyeballs.
Oh, that's how they'll look at us if we ever
look for content. That sounds painful.
It does.
Back to the pegging conversation from last week.
Or we just all have spectacular, we all have spectacular lips when we're on TV.
Yeah.
I definitely do my lips. If I get back on TV, I'm definitely doing my lips. For sure.
That's what you need.
Yeah. That'll get me a gig. Hey, it's a big week for Canadian soccer, right? We have the annual members meeting or annual meeting of the members, which by itself is a brilliant. I don't want to make fun of it. But hey.
Who's ready for it?
Connotation.
Who's ready for it? I am.
It's May 1st, right? May 1st to the 4th, I think it is. It's the AGM, right?
Could start off any better with your website going down.
Holy shit. Not a great weekend for Canada soccer, huh?
Holy. I know, JC, so the just a little. We are also on GoDaddy.com. We use them as a server. Someone left with the keys, I think, and forgot to update the other people about, hey, here are the keys to the website. I don't know if it's up right now, but it wasn't last night. I checked it like 10 o'clock Sunday night and it wasn't up. So if someone looks right now, let's tell me
right now.
But they send notifications about your URL becoming, it's up now.
Is up. Yep.
They're okay. Up. So basically over the weekend, someone forgot to get the keys. Whoever left said, oh shoot. That's right. I've been getting notifications, or I haven't because they cut their email out. And that would fall usually, and I'm not allegedly, would fall under either communications or marketing, but it could also fall under production. I don't know how they're all set up over at Canada Soccer. But there you go. There's your little insight.
It can be very frustrating. I also have another website which uses GoDaddy, and it's like any other server. And when things go wrong, it's very frustrating trying to reach people and say, please help us out. It can do your head in. So I have sympathy for Canada Soccer, actually, this weekend. Someone's just going squirrely.
Someone's getting in trouble, I think, a little too.
Someone tried to buy it on this podcast.
Who would that be? Would that be I'm JC? Would that be you?
Yes, I did. I 100% did, and I thought I did. And then it turns out, no, I just bought a brokerage fee for someone to broker it. And they said, oh. Yeah, so I had, so I thought I bought the website. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can gift it back to them so they can get back to the great work they do. And, but it turns out I just bought that brokerage fee and then you had to put in, the amount that you're willing to spend. And they suggested between $5,000 and $12,000.
They were legitimate then.
Yes. So then I thought, well, I can't donate that much money to Canada Soccer. So I left it at that.
Also, JC, do you have a Cat in the Hat cover on your mic?
It's one of my wife's socks.
Oh,
yeah,
lovely.
Thank you.
It works. It's very breezy there in St. Catharines.
Is it clean?
No. It's not. That's part of the joy.
Every podcast.
Snap your head back. You know what's going on.
I'm also wearing her makeup bow hat.
Why are you wearing
or is she lying down and that's just her foot?
Are you talking to her toes?
That would be funny.
back to the I don't know whether there'll be fireworks or not, right? But obviously a lot is going on with the new general secretary, with I'm assuming there'll be some competition for Charmaine Crooks in the president position. We'll see what happens as drama unfolds. But the search of the men's head coach is getting really interesting. Lots of names out there right now. And I'm sure that will be part of it. They won't obviously announce anything prior to the because there could be a new president, right? In which case everything changes, I would imagine, right? What are your thoughts on these names? So the names out there, we've read them all, right? There's
let's just we've written them too. We've written them and read them.
Yeah, well, the Jose Mourinho was just Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Ida Karanka, Greg Vanney, Jesse Marsh is the big one as well right now. Obviously, Bobby Smyrniotis, Tommy Wilden Jr. There's been interviews. They're getting towards the end of the process. What are you thinking, Dubs, right now? Is someone standing out as the hot favorite?
Yeah, I think it's Jesse Marsh. Just based on what we've heard and based on what's out there. And there's no reason why not. I think his kind of brand of football, the type of communicator that he is, the way that he aligns well with youth, like he's not intimidated by this new generation. He's not having to change his approach at all. And I think the fact that, you know, the timing of it is also an interesting angle, like candidates aside. Yes, you said perhaps you delay an announcement, even if you maybe know who your person is until after the and then maybe you get that person in prior to Copa America. And then I've been having discussions with friends, colleagues about, you know, would that work? Is that too soon? But I don't think it is for an international coach. Club is completely different, right? So would he be able to turn things around? You get that bump from a new person in. I think he gets the respect from his coaching pedigree, from where he's been, and the knowledge that he's kind of accrued along the way, playing with a variety of different setups, but albeit the same brand of kind of high octane football and that high press and all that, the things that he likes to do. I think that would be good. We saw Canada do really well. I think that opening game of the World Cup against Belgium, playing a style that's maybe not unlike something that Jesse Marsh would deploy. So is that the answer? I don't know, but yeah, I don't mind it.
Jimmy, is there a concern that he's American? Does that even factor in here at all? Or is he just go for the best man available?
I think at first when people heard that it could be an American, I think people are a bit standoffish and thinking, how can that happen? But when you take a step back and you really look at the big picture, I mean, at the end of the day, you want the best candidate to take this country, regardless of where they're from. That's my opinion.
Craig, do you concur?
I don't know. Why do we hire an American? Why would we do that? Yeah. Why don't we just hire a Canadian? If the CSA are trying to push coaching badges and stuff for Canadians, why would you want to take a coaching badge if you're just skipping above hiring Americans? We've done it here in MLS. We've done it, and we're going to do it now with their international team. I have no problems with Jesse Marsh. I think he's a good coach, but there's also other good coaches out there too.
Mm-hmm. You got to think too, though, Forrest, and we've talked about this. The Americans look after each other, right? Those players that are retiring.
How do they ever?
With Major League Soccer, they'll put them in positions in front office. Mm-hmm. They'll put them in coaching positions, academy positions. They do look after themselves and give them the best opportunities and resources to be successful.
So in is Canada, this – sorry, Jimmy.
What?
Sorry, no, go ahead.
And in Canada, we don't do that. We don't look after our own because we always think that a South American, a European American, it's more sexy than what a Canadian football coach or administrator or anything is. So that's why we don't get the opportunities. We don't look after each other.
So do you think that Kevin Blue coming from Stanford and Jesse Marsh being a Princeton man, is this an American looking after an American?
It sounds that way, doesn't it, when you say it like that?
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe a little bit far-fetched, but Kevin Blue's coming in, hasn't really made a misstep, seems to be doing everything right.
This website. Is a,
well, I mean, I'm going to say that he's probably not the person who's
I blame who's Kevin Blue. The website. The buck stops. The website stops with Kevin Blue.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I get your points, but okay, who would be a legitimate Canadian candidate, right? You have Bobby Smyrniotis is the one that stands out, right? Having dominated CPL in the last 5 years. Because Canadians haven't been given chances, there's no one else really that kind of stands out there, I don't think, is there? Or am I wrong here?
Well, I think there's plenty of coaches that are qualified and have the exact same qualification as these individuals that are getting interviews right now. These guys are getting interviews, and there's Canadians that have actually played against these guys who have the same qualifications as these guys. But again, these Canadians aren't sexy enough, and that's why we're going after these other individuals. These other individuals have got opportunities around the world, but the Canadians won't get opportunities. Prime example is Nick Vasilevic. Nick Vasilevic played in the French League, played in Sweden, played in Scotland. He's a UEFA pro coach, played for the national team. He won't get a sniff anywhere in this country because it's Nick Vasilevic.
Yeah, I guess everybody else. You're right. But the point is, this is a Canadian head coach, right? You want a manager who's been given that chance. Now, because the Canadians haven't been given opportunities elsewhere, that's a different conversation, right? Dazzo should have been given a chance somewhere. He should be a candidate because he's managed some. He hasn't been a head coach, right? So you can't suddenly give him this job, for example, right?
Right.
Whereas Bobby Smaniotis has been a head coach, has built an academy, has an idea for a system, how you could reinvent the way maybe Canadian soccer is seen. You can do that. Jesse Marsh has coached in MLS, in the Premier League, in Germany. He's got that experience as a head coach. Whereas just because of the reality of the landscape, Canadians haven't been given that chance. But maybe
that's the whole point, right? Is that they've been given these opportunities where Canadians haven't been given opportunities, and these Canadian coaches could be just as good as what these foreigners are that are coming in applying for this job. And until we kind of start looking after our own and give ourselves an opportunity, I can't see it. When are we going to have a Canadian national team head coach? We won't, not for a long time.
Mauro Biello, he has experience at international level under John Herdman at World Cups. Jesse Marsh doesn't have that.
Yeah. Be interesting to be Mauro right now, though, eh? You're just sitting around seeing all these other names getting thrown around. And honestly, we haven't even mentioned Mauro in the last week or two. And that would be a difficult space to be sitting in right now.
Okay, so
especially when you're doing well.
Right. And so here's one, though. If Mauro was Italian background from Italy, or maybe Argentinian, and he had it on his resume, coached Montreal Impact Major League Soccer, coached the national team, it'd be a hell of a lot more sexier, wouldn't it, than Mauro from Quebec?
Yeah, of course. But listen, Mauro's had a few games as Canada head coach, and the team hasn't played well.
They haven't, but they got the job done, didn't they?
Yeah. But to be devil's advocate here, they haven't played well. And listen, this team hasn't played well since the Belgium game of the World Cup, to be quite honest with you. Right, so not holding Mauro accountable for that. But clearly they're moving away from Mauro at this point. He's not going to be the head coach. Whether it's in time for Copa, much depends probably on the election for the president, I would think. Because if a new person comes in, then Kevin Blue's got to address that president, because that's the most powerful person still in the country. They decide on the head coach. It's not Kevin Blue. He might put the pieces in place and conduct the interviews, but it's a president and the board in the end that has to sign off on this thing, right?
Right? Yeah, but the legwork and the search and everything is done by Kevin Blue and this committee that he's put together. But I think it goes back to our discussion about candidates and who's really been being taken seriously. And perhaps a bias against Canadians, despite experience, despite success. So I think then you have to go back and look at who are these people. Kevin Blue admitted early on when he came in, he said, I'm a golf guy. I come from the NCAA system. I am good in the commercial sector. I'm going to talk about philanthropy and need to be like an engine of growth and revenue. But I need to hire and bring in people with footballing expertise to shore up that part of my kind of CV in the way that I'm tackling these things. So then when I hear that he's got a rugby guy leading his search for the men's national team candidate, something doesn't really align. And to me, that's a big fuck you to alumni. I'm not saying that I should be his right-hand person leading this search, but I hope to God that he's got people with footballing expertise helping him along here to make these decisions.
Yeah, and everybody's hearing now that it is Angus McNabb, who is a rugby guy, doesn't have a big football background. It's helping with this search.
That's about right.
Who else is on that committee? Do you know? I know there's lots of reports that they're tapping into alumni. I know they've spoken to you at some point, all of you. But do you know who else is anyone actually at the forefront of this group from an alumni standpoint?
I heard that there are people. I just don't know who those people are, and I feel like, you know, Jimmy Forrest and I cover a pretty good expanse of ex-players in this country. So I think if we knew somebody who was being consulted, you know, we'd be able to identify them or at least say, yeah, we're aware of people who are in there, but I haven't heard anything.
Mm-hmm. Tony Clement's name's been mentioned. I think the Evening Standard had him last week. So did Josh Cloak, which is interesting. He's being Ancelotti's right-hand man for some time. He's been at some big clubs as a right-hand man, never been that head coach per se at that level, but someone that's worked with big names, big egos. Not to say Canada's got that many big names and big egos, but that's an interesting name as well. But if it is Jesse Marsh, I mean, if you remove the passport, you look at the experience, are you Craig content that would be a valid choice?
Take away the American part?
Yeah, like just look at Jesse Marsh as a football man. Could he do a good job?
I love it.
I can't get by the American part.
So that's worse for you, like to Sharm's point, like you take away the birthplace, you take away his nationality, and he was a Spaniard or he's an Italian or he's Russian or whatever.
Hire him.
That's more palatable to you, Forrest, than being an American?
Not necessarily. I mean,
so who would you hire then? Who's a Canadian? If it's Canadian, you want a Canadian. I get that. Who is it? Who's qualified right now? Forget who should be qualified. Forget who's been given opportunities and the lack thereof. Right now in the Canadian football world, who is qualified to take this job?
Well, Moro.
Right, but we discussed that, right? He's had the team for what, 4 games? And it hasn't really been great performances.
Okay, so they bring a new guy in and they continue to do the same. Then what do they do?
Yeah, I know, but I get that it might not work out. But I'm just saying if you want a Canadian, and I get that, there's a good case for that. Who should it be?
Well, I don't say it necessarily has to be a Canadian. I'd like to see that, but I don't know. I think out of all the choices, going for an American is just, I don't know. I just.
Do you think it's lazy for
it? It blows me up the wrong way. For me?
You think it's lazy?
Lazy?
Yeah. Like, oh, it's an American. Like, they do things better than us. They've got more money than we do. It's kind of just a better version of us as Canadians. And we've got a chip on our shoulder. And we hate that because they best us in a variety of realms, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is that just like the easy decision? It's like, oh, they're right there, an American. That's why I'm saying it would be better if it was somebody else, anybody but an American.
Well, I hope as well that if it is Jesse Marsh, that he does have Canadian coaches around him.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to see that.
You'd hope he retains Moro, wouldn't you? He's got the experience of this group. He knows the group. That's an important component.
Would Moro want to stick around, you think?
Well, that's the other thing, too.
Right? Copa America, World Cup on home soil? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. And like you said, what other opportunities are there right now? I mean, I'm not saying there aren't any for him. I'm sure he'd walk into a CPL job at some point if there's one available, but being number two in the Canadian national team at this current time is a pretty sweet job, isn't it?
I think any Canadian would jump on that.
But who does number two work for?
Who do you work for?
Austin Powers, thank you.
I mean, listen, I get your concerns 100%, but just because of the landscape, there aren't that many choices, right? There aren't that many Canadian coaches to choose from. I would give it to Bobby Smithers in a second, right? Why not? He's proven where every level he's been at, but if it's not him, there just aren't that many guys who've been given that chance. Franks.
I like Bobby. I really like Bobby. I like him as a coach. I've always liked him. I've always admired the way that he does things. And if he got it, it'd be fantastic. I'd also love to see Bobby get into MLS as well to really kind of test himself at that next step, you know, that next jump from CPL up.
Because we talked about Herdman moving from the international game to the club game. And he seems to be doing all things right with TFC early on. But then what about the flip side of that with Bobby? So he doesn't have international experience. Do you see a guy who has gone up through the academy system, very much a club day in, day out kind of routine and system and structure? Do you see that translating to the national team and the international game?
It is the unknown. It is the unknown. You don't know how he's going to handle it at the next level or international football because you don't have the experience. I think a lot of times too, when you look around the world, international coaches tend to be a little bit older. It's not often you see young coaches get in there taking the national teams, right? And I think it's because they do a lot of their, they gain a lot of experience at club football. They get to the highest level, and then their next step is, okay, now I want to do the national team. Right. And it tends to be that older 50, 60 year old guy that always ends up really kind of coaching the national team a lot of the time anyways.
Okay. But in Bobby's case, is it a clearer pathway to get to, say, MLS to go via the Canadian national job? Is it easier to do that than to go from CPL to MLS?
I think so.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Sharon.
It's a bigger job, right? Simple as that. Mm-hmm.
Well, his name was in the hat for Montreal as well, Bobby.
Yeah.
And TFC.
And TFC. So he's getting the interviews. He just needs a shot.
That's why the whole Greg Vanney thing doesn't make sense to me. They're very high on this guy at the top of the CSA. But why on earth would he leave the Galaxy, a team that's fighting for first place in the West? And I'm sure the Galaxy can pay more than Canada. And that's a big thing too, right? What is the... You know, some of these names being mentioned, I just laugh. I mean, the Mourinho, someone dropped that Mourinho little nugget. I'm sure they called him. Of course they did. But they're not going to get Mourinho. They can't afford him. Simple as that. What does a Canada job pay? It's not what people think it is. It's well under a million. Well under a million.
Where's all this money coming from?
Some of these
from?
Names start at 2, 3, 4 million. Well, who knows?
Right, we're in a $4 million deficit, according to Kevin Blue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Private money.
Okay.
Private.
Of which John Herdman procured a lot of, and he's no longer part of the system. So who's the new John Herdman? Kevin Blue, like you said at Dubs, I mean, he came with a reputation. Part of the reason he got the job was because he can raise money in the private sector, right? So I don't know. It's going to be a really interesting couple of weeks, I think, in the Canada soccer search.
Yeah. But it is an interesting topic, though. And it's one I think we could talk for days. But, look, I hope they get it right. I hope they get the right individual to come in and lead this organization and get us where we should be.
Frank Gallup's another name that would be a very strong candidate.
Yeah, Frankie's a great coach. Then you also got Mark Watson as well. Mark's a great guy that's been around the football game for a long time.
Frank had the job before, though, of course, right?
Yeah, and he left because it was a gong show and went to LA Galaxy.
Worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah, brought in David Beckham.
Do you think he has any appetite to get back in?
I think he would.
Yeah, he would.
100%. Really? And you look at his resume. He's won championships in San Jose. He's coached LA Galaxy. He's won an awful lot. And a very good football mind.
Yeah, because, I mean, he hasn't been mentioned. I haven't heard his name mentioned in any of these rumors. I don't know if he's been approached. You would hope they'd at least talk to him.
You think he would?
Well, you guys know him really well. He's got a pretty nice life, though, down there, hasn't he? Although the life of an international manager, you can relive anywhere. Jesse Marsh could still live wherever he's living now in the States, presumably, unless he's still in Europe. He could operate from the States, couldn't he? Base himself there still and just travel to see the games.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Jesse Marsh, I find interesting, just because I like Jesse Marsh. When he was at Leeds, I thought he did a – obviously, it didn't work out in the end, but replacing – Bielsa is tough, but his teams play good football at the Red Bull. In the Red Bull system, he was fantastic. New York, of course, as well, New York Red Bull. Dubs, Montreal, a few years ago now. Was that before your time with Montreal?
It was. I believe he was the coach when they first made the leap to MLS in 2012. Yeah.
But he's got enough experience in North America to understand the landscape in North America, at least, and maybe a little bit in Canada, having coached in Montreal, which is, check, that's important, right?
Mm-hmm. I wanted, just before we move on, I wanted to ask Forrest and Jimmy's opinion on the timing of it. Like, obviously you said, you know, you mentioned the AM, and do you guys think, Jimmy and Forrest, if they have that candidate maybe already in line, they have them kind of booked as being or tabbed as the next head coach, do they pull the trigger prior to Copa, or do they leave Morrow at the helm and then they transition the new manager in afterwards?
I've got an alarm going off in my room here, so.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Fire test.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So Sorry. Your answer is yes.
Forrest on fire. Forrest on fire.
Yeah. No, for me, I think it's important that you get that manager in right away, because this guy needs as many games as possible with this group before going into World Cup.
And that tournament experience.
Yes. And if a tournament as big as Copa America, you want this guy leading the team in there and really kind of understanding the players, and going through a big international tournament like that together. And I think, like I say, the more games you can get, the better it's going to be for this squad together, where the players can understand the coach gets a better idea of the players, and you start building that relationship.
Well, it was Jesse Marsh. He holds a mean press conference, so I hope you give the clips.
I know John Carver was in as well for it.
Was he in? Was he interviewed?
No, he didn't get. I don't think he got an interview. I know he put his name in the hat.
Did he really?
He's the assistant for Scotland, and he's worked with some big players at Newcastle United, with Ginola, Alan Shearer, Craig Bellamy,
Brennan.
Oh yeah, he worked here in Chief Toronto FC as well. Great manager, Premier League experience, international experience. What they've done with Scotland's a hell of a journey that they've had, and now going to the Euro. So I know his name was in the hat. He would have been a great candidate as well, because he can deal with big experienced players, knows the international level. That's another good name. But I don't know. I don't think he's got an interview. He should have.
Well, like I said, I think we're going to find out in the next couple of weeks, aren't we? Maybe, who knows? Maybe an announcement at the ARM later this week. We'll never know. Any more thoughts on this before we move on to what's happened across Europe? All right, let's move on to the Premier League, shall we? How about that? The Premier League. Getting down to the last three or four games of the season. City won. Arsenal won in a beauty against Spurs. So St. Tottenham's day has come and gone. And once again, Arsenal celebrates St. Tottenham's day, as they generally do. Craig, you watch City Forest. Is your alarm still on, Craig, or is it off? Nodding. Still on. Okay, still on. So.
Alarm bells ringing.
All right. Well, listen, City won, like I said. Haaland topping the scoring charts once again, scored in that one. His terrible campaign he's having. Leading all goal scorers. De Bruyne, by the way, wasn't great in that game, but end of it, 2 assists. He has 8 now. I put that little bet in when he first came back that he'd lead the assists chart, and he's 4 off first place right now with, 3 games left? It'll be tough, but it's Kevin De Bruyne, Dubs. And my God, it's not out of the realms of possibility, and that pays pretty damn well.
Who's leading that chart, Charms, at this point? Do you know?
Ollie Watkins.
Oh, yeah.
Good player.
Yeah, monster season he's having. Yeah, De Bruyne, I mean, casually they get that on the Guardiola goal at the near post. That's De Bruyne putting that ball in there, just driving it in. All Guardiola has to do is just kind of get a touch on it, and it beats the keeper at the near post. And he's kind of a little bit quieter throughout the game, but then when Haaland comes on as a substitute with about half an hour left, it seems to bring De Bruyne to life. Like, all of a sudden, he's got somebody to connect with and get into space. And as you said, I think the bar for Haaland, I know we're talking about De Bruyne, but is so high in terms of expectations. And I was covering the CF Montreal game on Saturday, and then while that game was going on, I was sitting next to Patrice Bernier, and he slid over his phone. He's like, "Messi at it again," and he showed me the film or the clip of Messi's first goal, and it was just a routine goal. It wasn't a worldie, And we're like, oh yeah, you know, routine. But, and it's, I compare the two because the bar is so, so high that he continues with the goal contributions, controls to, or continues to fill the net, that anything that's beneath like a screamer or a beautiful set piece or something like that, that is, you're like, oh, okay. You kind of shrug your shoulders. And that's like what I kind of feel like City is right now, but also De Bruyne and Haaland, is that we just expect so much week in and week out that if they fall just short, that everybody's kind of ho-hum about it. But that's what City just keep. They're just a machine. You just keep rolling, right?
The fact that we all look at that Messi goal saying, ho-hum, just typical Messi, not a great goal, but my God, what a great goal it was. The touch. <Yeah. laughs> The pass was incredible, right? And then just the, what, 1, 2, 3, scores.
Yep.
It was just brilliant, but it's Messi. So, but yeah, you're bang on there. With De Bruyne, much like Rodri, seeing this, so Rodri has now gone 70 games and 449 days since he last lost a game playing for Man City. Jimmy, think about that. 70 games without losing when you start.
That's incredible. Can you imagine? 70 games. That is a frightening stat.
And he's key to it, right? I mean, it's not like he's a passenger. Rodri might be the most important member of that City team, in fact. Don't you think? I mean, he does everything so well. I don't think there's a team in the world where Rodri wouldn't start. But again, he's not flash, right? So, just Rodri doing what Rodri does. De Bruyne gets a press. Haaland gets a press. Rodri, 449 days.
I wonder if he walks in the morning sometimes and just walks by Pep and just goes, he need me.
Just a little reminder.
Yeah, you all need me. Everybody in here needs me. You know this. Here's my numbers.
Imagine, him being dropped for a big game. You just can't imagine it, can you?
Oh, yeah. You're dropped. Are you sure? Argument. You sure you want to drop me?
It's almost 500 days, Gov, since I lost.
No, but you're right, though. Can you imagine being part of a team where that's just the standard, and then a player like Rodri of his quality, and you look at a guy like Bernardo Silva and the influence that he can impart in the game, and like you bring him a little bit more inside and you think, okay, that's exactly where he should be playing, and then Pep deploys him more on the wing, and then he still impacts the game. But I think Rodri just gets it done at such a high quality that you just take him for granted. But as you said, he would slot into an 11 anywhere in any club, in any country in the world. And that's just what he does. And I think he does it so well that it just flies under the radar. But you have to appreciate of what he does. He's unbelievable.
Yeah. So what, 3 games left? City have 4. Let me just pull up who's playing who here. City's got the easier schedule though, right? Coming up.
I don't know. They've got Wolves, Fulham, Tottenham, and West Ham.
Wolves, Fulham. Oh, and where's Spurs? Is it at Spurs?
They're away.
Yeah. And Arsenal? You got Arsenal there?
Arsenal's got Bournemouth, United, and Everton.
Everton play much better as well. But they're going to have flip-flops. Yeah, Bournemouth 10th, too. Right? Bournemouth 10th in the table. Like, that's one of the stories of the season, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. So, okay, so it's still City, though, to lose, right, isn't it? Even though Arsenal, I mean, they came out guns a-blazing against Spurs, up 3-0. Although Spurs, in fairness, the scoreline didn't justify, I don't think, Dubs, the performance after 45 minutes. Spurs could have had a couple in that first half.
Yep, they could have. And I think it shows that Arsenal are a little bit vulnerable on set pieces. And then you saw Raya, you saw the way that the atmosphere and the energy completely changed. I mean, I know you're talking about the first 45, but that error by Raya, where he's like between, you know, two minds, and then he goes to kind of dink it in, and like, what is he thinking? You know, like, I know they're not just going to like get rid of the ball, but like as soon as Spurs get a goal, like that game completely changed because Arsenal were in full control. And that's what they've done this year. And then, you know, even though, Sonny gets that penalty and they kind of push till the end, and maybe they feel a little bit hard done by, but it's, you know, Arsenal of a year ago maybe doesn't see that out. Mm-hmm. And then they've got just the confidence and the wherewithal to execute and to manage those in-game moments really masterfully. So I think that's going to be the difference here down the stretch.
Yeah, good to see Saka bounce back as well. He had a bit of a rough patch there. He looked tired for a while, didn't he? But that goal he scored was just gorgeous. So much patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, and it comes after Spurs are maybe clamoring for a penalty call. And then it just goes the other way and they get them in transition. I forget who hit him with the ball, but it was just a sublime ball into space. And he takes it over onto the right, cuts back onto his left, and then just calmly rolls it home. But yeah, he's a brilliant player.
What about the controversy at the end of the match as well with Arsenal celebrating and everybody saying, oh, it's way too early?
What do you think about that? You tell me, Jimmy. Have they got a point?
What's that?
Have they got a point, or is it just people trying to find a reason to be bitter?
I don't know. I think it's probably that as well, just being bitter.
What do you mean? I didn't see it. What do you mean, just celebrating the victory, or they were a little bit too over
the top with it?
Okay.
It's the North London Derby.
Yeah.
Right? It's St. Tottenham's Day. Yeah. It's huge.
They're celebrating like they won the league.
But they've been doing it all year long, though, right? They've been criticized for that all year long, and it seems to be working for them.
Yeah.
And even if they don't win this year, there's every chance they won't win, but you can't, unless they crumble the next three games, I don't think we can judge Arsenal like we have the last couple of years. They've come really close, and we're seeing progress there in this team.
And I was just looking up Charms. Charms, I was just looking up the oldest and youngest Premier League teams. Arsenal is the third youngest. So they've got a future. They're to Dub's point earlier, last year they might not have held on. They're finishing this year and they're right there. So it's, you know, to have the third youngest team. I think Jimmy had said, hey, I know we were talking Chelsea too, but he also mentioned Arsenal being a team for the next 5 years, if they can keep this squad together.
Is Chelsea above them in terms of?
Chelsea is second. Burnley is first.
Hmm. Burnley.
Yeah. Bournemouth is fifth.
Hmm.
Who's the oldest?
It'll be a tough guess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Wonger's the oldest.
Fuck you. Fulham and West Ham are the two oldest.
Oh, really, eh? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, West Ham with a big point against Liverpool, of course. Lots to talk about in this game as well. I mean, we can officially rule the Reds out, right, as a title challenger, I think. Let's be honest. They've blown it. They've just wilted, or they pulled an Arsenal. Whatever you want.
They were premature. They were a little premature.
Flaccid down the stretch, yeah.
Well, even when they were, even early in the season, they were conceding goals this year, right?
Yeah.
And they kept, though, finding ways to win games. They did, and, you know, the whole talk of quadruple was certainly premature. And then the Klopp thing. I don't think they've been quite as good as people have thought they were going to be, thought they had been this year. They haven't been too many great performances, but they found ways to win. right, until recently, when they've really struggled. What do you make? Okay, let's start with talking about the Salah Klopp on the sidelines. When I don't know what Klopp said to him, but he didn't take kindly to it. And then after the match, the reporters asked him, "Can you talk about it?" And Salah says, "If I talk, there will be fire." Is this just frustration for a team, you know, towards the end? I mean, is that all it is, do you think, Jimmy? Or are we seeing perhaps the cracks as Klopp departs?
I think frustration. Frustration because I think they know the squad that they have. They've made silly mistakes. And they played in matches as well where they've dominated, created chances, but just couldn't finish themselves. Mm-hmm. So that frustration is setting in. I mean, what was the game, the last one that they drew, and they should have won? They had so many opportunities and just could not finish.
Crystal Palace.
What's that? Palace.
Crystal Palace, yeah.
Right. Of course you'd be frustrated after that. And now looking at it again, thinking, how are we not going to win this league with the team that we have and some of the performances that we've had? Just could not put the ball in the back of the net because they've done everything right, but just can't finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about not being clinical enough in the box because they're creating those chances, creating those opportunities. But I'm sure you all tuned in to the broadcast that dropped on Saturday, so this will be redundant. But Rian made
speculum.
Oh, Rian made
not
a great
just the promo clip. Yeah,
yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got for you.
But we were talking about Emma Hayes, and so Barca is the holders. They win that second leg. They go through to the final, and they'll face Lyon in the Women's Champions League final. And we were talking about Emma Hayes moving over to the U.S. women's national team, and the only jewel left to put in her crown would have been the Women's Champions League. She's won everything else. So the players wanting to do that for her, knowing that she's leaving, it's too much of a singular focus and a singular motivation, and it's way too emotive. As a player, you guys know that if emotion is your primary source of motivation, you're never going to be in control. You're never going to be measured enough in order to execute properly, whether that's from a tactical standpoint, a team standpoint, or your individual role. So I liken that, and I talked about Liverpool wilting and sagging in the stretch here. So I think that's what you're seeing, as Jimmy said.
Sagging and what was it?
Wilting.
Some little flowers.
Yeah, painted quite the picture there. But yeah, to Jimmy's point, like when Klopp and Salah come to blows, get into it on the sideline, it's undignified in a way, right? You don't want that to come out publicly, and you don't want sort of two legends at the club to be viewed in that regard. And Klopp spoke about, you talked about Salah's comments, Sharms, but Klopp's comments after the game were like, I don't want to talk about the nature of the comments, but we spoke in the dressing room and everything's fine. So I think it is, you know, because Salah, his form after AFCON wasn't great. He wasn't the Mo Salah that we expect to see, but he's still, I think, on 17 goals. Like, he's still an unbelievable year. So I think that's what that's about, you know, like Klopp's gesturing something on the field and then he says something to Mo, and Mo's probably saying, yeah, if you fucking put me in to start off with, we might be in a different situation here. But yeah, it has to be more than just doing it for the manager is really like my big point, even though I've yacked on and I've talked
who,
on
who, who, a good 19 this.
Minutes
who would you trust more 1 second left in the game, empty goal, ball in 12-yard line. Who would you trust more, Nunez or Diaz?
Diaz.
Would you? I don't know. Yeah. He's pretty wasteful as well. Nunez gets all the press of being wasteful because of the price tag. Diaz, he should have had a few more goals this year.
How far out?
He said 12 yards.
Unless you're scuffing.
Nunez, no chance.
I don't think it's no chance. I think if you look at their big misses, and they've hit so much woodwork this year, right? Like so many posts, so many bars, goals that you just think are certain or inevitable, and then they don't go in. But I think Diaz doesn't overcomplicate things. When he has those sitters, I think he's usually finishing.
Whereas I thought you were going to go with Nunez.
I love Nunez, but simple, calm, composed finishing is not really what he's known for.
I would take Nunez in a crossbar challenge.
Just don't tell him. Just tell him he's got a chance to score.
Yeah. He's still young, though. Like, I see him as, I don't think that's ever going to go out of his game completely, but I think he becomes more refined and there's more finesse brought to his finishing in the years to come.
And he's given a pass because he works so hard, right? That's the thing. But yeah, at some point,
what I love about him,
at some point, it's got to be, okay, you got to start putting some of these chances away because you are costing your team. I've got to get your thoughts on the whole Areola rolling the ball away. So Anthony Taylor whistles before Cody Gakpo gets to the ball, right? Even though Gakpo was in his rights to, I think, finish that goal, and it turns out Areola was injured. But it was one of those moments where the play was live. The goalkeeper didn't go down. It was the weirdest thing, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Did you see this? Craig, did you watch this one?
Yeah, it was really strange. I'm not sure what to make of it, other than the fact that the referee thought that maybe it was just not within the spirit of the game, and there's some kind of confusion that Areola ruled the ball out. It was very strange.
I think it was Areola thinking that the whistle had gone, because there was a foul at the near post, and then he assumes the whistle's been blown. And then in everything I've seen you zoom in the ref, he's made the play on signal, the one that Jimmy, you love, the really demonstrative play on, as he runs towards the center circle with his back to the play. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what you're doing as the referee there. And then he's saved by the fact that Gakpo doesn't just fire that ball into the back of the net. If Gakpo scores that, the referee's fucked, because I think that goal then has to be counted.
Yeah, exactly. So what are you doing, Gakpo, for Christ's sakes? What is Cody Gakpo? I hope that this new Dutch coach coming in can be the Dutch whisperer and get Gravenberch and Gakpo playing some decent football on a regular basis. This team's problem is? Too much potential. Oh, Nunez, potential, world-class. Oh, Gakpo, potential, world-class. Gravenberch, so much potential. Yeah, well. Usually when you say you've got potential, it means they haven't quite achieved the heights that we expect of them. It's a problem. But hopefully,
like us.
Much like us. Yeah.
Lots exactly. of potential.
We're the oldest crew with potential in the podcast game. Combined age, 346.
Yeah. Are we the oldest in the podcast world at the moment, football?
Yeah. Gotta be close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I push it up. I push it up really high.
One more fucks is all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so where else do we have here? Oh, the Villa-Chelsea game, 2-2. Good game, actually. And De Zerzi's goal ruled off at the last second. Oh, sorry, our combined age, 297. Oh, almost at the 300. We're so close. God.
No, I don't want to strive for that. No.
Oh, God. What a waste of 300 years.
Yeah, so Chelsea,
I think I'm going to be a doctor. I'm planning to be a doctor.
I can go back to school.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go back, start studying medicine, do a biology exam. Can't wait. Anatomy.
Can I guess you could do that, right? Couldn't you?
Yeah, I'll be a surgeon. I like to get people open.
Yeah, by the time
imagine Warner at 85 doing his first surgery
with those glasses on,
with his leaf scarf.
This is the year. It's coming.
No, we're all achieving great heights. Don't put ourselves down here. Yeah, Chelsea 2, Villa 2. Interesting one there. De Zerzi's goal roared off late after a little shove on Diego Carlos.
It was
right, because I saw a lot of match reports and saying what a terrible call it was and it should have stood. But no, it was a blatant push-off, right?
In the back.
Okay, good. I'm glad he said that, because I think a match of the day was saying how it was dubious. It's like, really?
I don't think
so. He shoved him.
It was shoulder to shoulder? Yeah, shoulder to shoulder, fine. Let it play. But like, it was way before the ball even arrived, and it's a blatant shove in the back. Like, it's a foul all day for me.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you said that.
Sorry, guys. Can I ask you a question? It seemed to me, I was watching, I forget which match, but it was this weekend, and it seems like the players are standing in front of the keepers even more now.
Ben White did that so well.
Yes, but my point is, it is interfering with the keeper so obviously, and I don't know the rules anymore. It looked like that would normally be, hey, whistle going the other way. Not a foul, but hey, you're interfering.
but if it's a whistle, it's a foul, Wonger.
Well, is it? But not a yellow, I'm saying. Sorry, it's a foul, but not a yellow. Not like, hey, just move it forward. Is there, what's the rule now? Because it seems like these guys are standing right beside, pushing into the keeper. And it doesn't seem fair to me, that level of interference, that level of obstruction. And am I crazy even? Yeah, I know you would.
So
I
think
Craig would argue it was worse in the past, though, when you had these big old hulking center forwards with elbows, right? Wasn't it more physical in the past?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. But there's nothing new. They've been doing it for a long time. You have every right to stand in front of the goalkeeper, hold your position. Nothing wrong with that.
Does the goalkeeper get to set his space first?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure.
Okay, no, that's what I'm wondering. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding the rule and the lack of whistle.
Because you know, it's a massive distraction as well for the goalkeeper. It really is difficult, especially depending on where the ball comes in and your line of sight, your line of which way you're going to attack the ball. It can be a real problem. Rhea yesterday, he didn't deal with that well in that match.
What about Inanna?
Pardon me?
Inanna for United.
Right.
You saw that one, right? He just went through.
That was dumb.
The attacker, like, threw him, took him out, could have killed him.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that actually last week, I think. The goalkeeper's coming in, cleaning out the opponent. Mm-hmm. He's done that a couple times, Inanna.
Yeah, well, there was no reason for it either. That was the dumb part. The play had already kind of finished.
No, it was so ill-timed, and I think goalkeepers are going to get the benefit of the doubt if they get to the ball at the same time. But he was so late.
It was like 7 seconds later. It was a whole, like, the opening of a Mamma Mia song. You're like,
come on, anytime now.
Yeah, it was,
kick
it was
in. Like it's 15 kick in.
Seconds later.
You know what the word, though, I think, Wonga, when you're talking about the goalkeepers and, you know, the interference in the box, it's called cajoling. Cajoling in the box. It's a great word. Mm. Go look that up. Okay. It's part of the
C-A-J-O-L-E.
Cajoling.
Cajole. Yeah.
It's a good word.
That's your weekly rendezvous with Tony. Cajoling in the box.
Cajoling. Yes.
In the box.
Hello, darling. Would you like to cajole?
And I wasn't 7 seconds late, though. That's for sure.
seven seconds early.
Making fun.
Blasted roar.
Finished before we started.
Nelly, again?
Sorry, honey. Not tonight, honey.
We got drugs for that.
Thiago Silva.
They do, actually. They do.
No, they actually do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually
weird, do. Though. It's weird.
Mamma mia.
No, I don't want to. Thiago Silva's leaving Chelsea. Trying to steer this back. Wonger is cajoling on his chair right now. So, yeah, Thiago Silva, 4 years. He came for 1 year, he says, and he's lasted 4 years, won a crap load of trophies at Chelsea. And this year must have been very trying for him. But I think it's one of those players that he was so much better than I thought he was. We always knew he was very, very good in his heights with Brazil, obviously, just incredible. But I thought he was kind of washed up when he came to Chelsea. But he put in 4 really good years and still looks so fit and healthy. Makes me sick. Any thoughts on Thiago Silva? Anyone?
No, quality player.
There we go. Quality player.
Yeah, quality. Well, I would also call, I don't mean to say call his leadership into question. He's going out as kind of a cheap shot. But like, you know, when Cole Palmer scores 4 last week or whenever it was, and then he gets awarded the penalty and Poch is like, listen, Palmer's the penalty taker. Don't care how many goals that he's on. And then there's, what's his name again? Mandueke? No. How do you say his name?
Oh, yeah. You're asking the wrong person.
Chelsea? Mandueke. Yeah. So he and Jackson are fighting over the ball, right? To see who's going to take it. And Palmer.
That's Jackson.
Sorry, Miss Jackson. Yeah.
And then Palmer takes it and he you know, slots the penalty home, and that's it. But like, where's Silva when all this is happening?
Well, he's, you know, like, thinking about his next year.
Yeah. So
thinking about his press conference.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what we've talked about kind of across this year, is like the youth, and they needed some clear leadership, and they needed somebody to make sure that you know, those youngsters had some direction and some clear guidelines. And in those moments, that's where you need to see your captain within the screen, right? And he's nowhere to be found. You can maybe also point the finger at Gallagher. Like, where was Gallagher in that moment? You know, why wasn't he doing more to kind of calm everybody down and say, listen, everybody knows that this is Palmer's ball, like, get the hell out of here. So yeah, I just think he could have been more influential from a leadership standpoint.
Wow. Trying to make a nice comment about a lovely career. You are tearing him apart. Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
It's pretty harsh then.
Best of luck to you, though.
You asshole. You're shit.
Future your endeavors and all that.
Did you see Schlupp's worldie for in the Palace Fulham game? Just a belter, eh? Oof. Yep. Not for the net. That thing's still going.
Great first touch, too, and kind of just catches the ball slightly rising, and just, like, what a hit. Just hammers it.
Yeah, I guess
takes
all of
the
it.
Covering off the ball.
Rodrigo Munoz scored again as well. 9 in 13 games for Fulham. And by the way, Palace, 10 points in the last four games. Oliver Glasner has that team really playing some good football right now. Yes, Jason Bateman. I stick by that.
So wrong.
No, I stick by that. It's uncanny resemblance. MLS, Montreal with a good point against the champs. What else we got here? The Caps, they drew New York Red Bull again, a good point in New York. And TFC, they came from behind late in the match and won against Orlando. What the hell? Pretty good weekend. not great for a Canadian parlay, but still, draws are good draws on the road and against certain teams. And which of those games do you want to jump on quickly? Obviously, we've got three questions coming up later this week. Dubs, Montreal, quick thought?
Yeah, I'll just say good point on the road. They were winless in three away, so it was good for them to get one. You could argue that despite Columbus really turning it on in the second half, it was a heavily rotated side after their CCC semifinal leg against Monterey, which they won on the Wednesday. But I thought they were organized. They were disciplined in the first half, but they missed opportunities. They, you know, Vilsay had a couple. You had Chouinard who could have scored a goal, or a nice dummy by Duke. I think it's about right that they go away with one, but the key for them there is that they were able to see the end of game out. You know, I think they're leading the league or close to the top in conceding goals after the 80th minute. So the fact that they were able to hang on and see that game out, get the point, and then they've got Nashville next, I think that was huge. So they can use that as a touchstone and a reference point as they move forward, because you have to do it in real time, and then you can refer back to it, and that gives you confidence. So they were able to do that.
Craig, the Caps, with their point, Brian White scored again. He's 44th to lead all Caps players in the MLS era.
Amazing.
Fantastic combination with him and Ryan Gold forming there.
He's great. Great professional. Works really hard. Gets the odd goal here and there, and he's scoring regularly right now. He got honor going back to his old club too, so that was kind of cool, and they pick up a really, really good point in New York.
Yeah, that
that's a great opponent, right? They've looked great this year, New York Red Bull.
So Julian Guzman's doing since Jules got there, they've stepped it up. And Jimmy, TFC. So Spicer and Prince scores again, and that assist by Bernadeschi was pretty sweet. It's all coming up trumps right now.
Is he going to turn out to be the number nine that we've been waiting for?
What do you think, Jimmy?
He's getting his goals now. At the moment, he's in the right place, right time. And you know, sometimes it does take a little bit of time as well to adjust to the players that you have around you, and they seem to be finding him now. And it was a decent performance against Orlando. You know, it was evenly contested. Match went back and forth. TFC had quite a few chances as well. And then within 5 minutes, I think it was 87th minute, Spicer ends up scoring. And then a few minutes later, then Owusu scores. So, you know, when you look at it, the last three games now, they've scored 8 goals. So they're starting to get on this little run. New England, they beat 1-0. Yeah, okay, you're playing Simcoe. Wasn't a great game, but end up beating them 5-0. And then on the road, you head to Orlando and come away with 3 points. So maybe this is a little bit of a turning stone for them where they're thinking, okay, maybe we've got something here. Things are starting to slowly click, but there is still an awful lot of work to be done. But I think in that dressing room, it's going to be positive vibes at the moment, because it's never easy going to Orlando and picking points up.
You know, I find interesting with the narratives in Canadian MLS teams is that we look at Montreal, and I think the narrative is they're a really good team and they're going to get a lot of points and do well this year. Whereas TFC, man, a real work in progress, a lot of question marks. Yet TFC's ahead of them in the standings, albeit having played a game less. But from a point standpoint, very, very similar record so far. Shows that TFC is really still fighting against its past, I think. And the disaster that was last season, which is fair enough, I suppose. But it could be a good battle between Montreal and TFC. We want to see both those teams good, right, Dubs? We want to see that rivalry mean something.
Yeah, and I think it also, when you oversimplify, you want to make it a singular narrative. You want to make it binary, like all or nothing. Or, you know, TFC's a rebuild and Montreal's got all the potential and they've got this new coach coming in from, you know, Columbus Crew and Wilfred Nancy's philosophy, and they're going to play this attractive brand of football. It's not just about that. There's all kinds of other variables, right? And then you have to do it in practice. You have to execute it. So I think it's good. It's good for Canadian soccer if all three MLS franchises are flying high. And right now it looks like it's on the right path, you know, on that upward trajectory for everybody.
Hey, two Canadians scored in the Colorado Cincy game. Do you see that? Moyes Bimbido scored, and then Kamal Miller with the own goal.
Oh.
I did see that.
So, yeah, flying that flag high in that one. Good stuff. All right, hey, Jimmy, CPL Corner. We need to get a little CPL Corner promo built, JC, don't you think? Don't know what it'll be, but I'm sure we can leave it in your safe hands. And then we get a sponsor for it, Wilner.
Yeah, I'm down.
So, Jimmy, CPL Corner brought to you by Insert Here.
Yeah, it was a great weekend for Canadian soccer.
Is that the tagline?
Soccer.
No, I'll start off with Forge and Valor. Valor's looking for their first win, bottom of the table, no points. And it was actually a match where I thought Valor actually played quite well. They had a couple of opportunities. They had Forge on the back foot as well. They ended up scoring a goal through Jordan Faria. Tristan Borges, who's on absolute fire at the moment, he ended up scoring, making it 1-1. And then in the 90th minute, Jensen scores just outside the box, low drive in the bottom corner for Forge to pick up 3 points. So Valor would be disappointed that they didn't come away with anything. And I felt that they absolutely deserve something. They're just going through a really, really hard time at the moment. Again, similar to what they had last year, where they played decent football, but they just can't finish. They cannot find the back of the net, and it's starting again already 3 games in. Cavs and Pacific, another good match. Calgary, they're still looking for their first win of the season. They won in the cup against Vancouver, but in league play, they lost the first match to Forge. They drew against Ottawa, and again, they drew against Pacific at home. But it was a game where I'm sure Tommy Wheeldon Jr. felt that he should have taken the 3 points. It was a dominant performance. Again, one of those situations similar to Valor where they're creating loads of chances, but just could not find the back of the net. And they actually put in a dominant performance where Pacific, who's had great results prior to this match, sitting on 6 points going into this game, they had no answers to Calgary's attack. But near the end of the match, probably about 4 minutes left, Rion Moore actually gets behind the Calgary back line, goes one-on-one with Carducci, and Carducci makes a magnificent save. Mm. Comes out big, brave. And kept it nil-nil. But Pacific, it was one of those games too, you know, where you see a team that's so dominant, creating so many chances, and you're thinking, Pacific's going to get a chance here. It's one of those where you're not finishing your chances, and they're going to get one. And sure enough, Pacific ended up getting that chance, but they just couldn't put it away. But Pacific would be happy leaving Calgary with 1 point, knowing that they didn't have a great performance. Wanderers, again, another team that they're not off the mark. They're not even on the board. Again, no wins. They had a good performance. Ended up going a man down after 20 minutes. And they still continued to go forward at home and created chances. They ended up scoring one goal with Ferrazzo, but Ottawa just ended up showing the strength that they have and what a good side that they have. They've built a very good squad this year with Del Campo, Tabla, and Manny Aparicio scoring an absolute cracker. So Ottawa picking up 3 points on the road. And then York looking for their first 3 points of the season against a good Vancouver side. First half, both teams kind of tended to cancel themselves out. Going into the second half now, that's when York grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck. Wright ends up scoring 2 goals, and Zelenankovic ended up getting his first goal of the season. So it was a good result for York, picking up their 3 points. I know, struggled with that one. But it was a good weekend overall. Ford still on top of the table with 9 points, and Halifax and Valor still looking to get on the board.
That was a great corner. Good CPL corner once again. I don't think calling it a CPL corner does it justice. It's like a room to itself. Mm-hmm. Great detail.
It's a well-executed set piece. It's a CPL corner.
That's what it is. Welcome to the CPL well-executed set piece of the week. There you go. Great. All right. Well, that's fully prime. Do you want to get anything else apart from, of course, championing the wonderful FuboTV.com/footyprime. And Wonger is doing something with his odd hand.
Rhonda Brownlee put together a lovely tribute to Jimmy Brennan and his 25 years on Saturday, anniversary of his first cap. And then
I didn't see a video.
It was fantastic.
It was actually really good.
Yeah, we shared it on Footy Prime's The social media manager shared it on Footy Prime's link. So go to Twitter and look at that. And then Craig Forrest for having a pee blanket on his daughter's couch. Congratulations, Craig. It's important. No, but if you're going to look, if you want to follow a little more about Craig, Retro ITFC, the Ipswich Retro channel on Twitter, shows Craig was all over making saves from the 90s. It was fantastic. One gentleman even said, my favorite goalkeeper of all time. And so if you want to follow more of Craiger, do that. Great times. What's that?
I was going to repost them.
You did repost it.
Oh, did I?
Well, you should have.
Did you tag it with Footy Prime by any chance?
No, he doesn't. No, he just goes, thanks.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
We've got to work on this.
His social thing, game guys, is abhorrent.
I'm just trying.
Abhorrent.
We even say, hey, guys, do this. Here's the tweet.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Have you not seen my thread?
Yeah, your thread should be, personally, though. Go to the, I'm going to teach you guys again. Go to your Apple Podcasts on your iPhones. Click the 3 buttons. Then scroll down, say copy link, then do your post. So mm-hmm. people see your post and go straight to it instead of seeing a requote of a post.
Or the video that we actually put on the dark web. So here's the video for you.
Yeah. We could do that too.
That as well.
When I say could do that, it's Craig and Jimmy.
Riveting stuff at an hour and 9 minutes.
Everyone knows who we're talking about here. This is a post-pod meeting, actually.
Yeah.
Running long.
We're calling
them out.
Let's
go then. Tomorrow we got 3 questions in Montreal, of course. We got TFC in Vancouver coming up Wednesday, probably as well. Box to box, Wednesday foundational, Friday foundational. Check out wearefootyprime.com and please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Cheers for listening, everyone.
Yeah, please.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by FuboTV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, see you fuckers. I knew you didn't listen to the broadcast.
What?
Diolch is thank you in Welsh.
Oh, is it really?
I told you I didn't listen to the broadcast.
Yeah. Come out Saturday. We're all kind of like watching football and stuff. Life is tough.
Right.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.